Tehillim, chapter 120, Mizmor Kof Chaf. The next 15 Mizmorim all have a similar prologue, Shir HaMa'alot, for 14 of them, and one, chapter 121, has Shir LaMa'alot. This title is not found anywhere else in the book and is subject to great conjecture because it's unclear what it means. The Hebrew word ma'alot means staircases or rising or going up. The Mishnah in Sukkah describes the Simchat Beit HaShoeva, the festival of the water drawing, on Sukkot and states, Halevi'im b'chinarot u'b'nvalim u'mitzaltayim v'chol klei shir b'lo mispar, and the Levi'im with all different types of musical instruments, al chamesh esrei ma'alot hayordot me'ezrat Yisrael le'ezrat hanashim, would stand on the 15 steps in the temple between the courtyard of the Israelites and the courtyard of the women. Kineged chamesh esrei shir ha'ma'alot shebetehilim she'aleim ha'levi'im omdim v'omrim b'shir. Upon corresponding to the 15 chapters called Shir HaMa'alot in Tehillim, and the Levi'im would stand on this. This leads Rashi to state in his introduction to this chapter that the title Shir HaMa'alot means that these were the songs that were supposed to be sung as they stood on the steps. The Mishnah does not say that specifically. Rashi then brings a midrash saying that these 15 chapters were written by David HaMelech in order to raise up the water of the depths, which had stopped rising when they put in the pipes for the Beit HaMikdash. Okay, and for each song that was sung, 100, it rose up by 100 levels. So the word ma'alot could mean rising. Other commentaries see this introduction, Shir HaMa'alot, as a direction to the musicians. Rav Sadia says it means start in a high key. The Meiri says it means to start softly and get louder as the song progresses, which is traditional, for example, when we say Kol Nidre. The Dat Mikra does not see it as a musical introduction, but rather as a dateline or chronology. It suggests possibly that these songs were written by the people who returned from the Babylonian exile. They were Oleh, they went up to the land of Israel, in particular chapter 126, Bishuv Hashem et Shivat Zion, when God returned us the redemption of Zion. Or it was sung by the people who came up on the three pilgrimage festivals, Oleh Regel, proof for that is number 122, where we say, Samachti ba'omrin li beit Hashem nelech, I rejoiced when people said, let's go to the temple. Or it was written to accompany prayer. As we know, we say, le'ale u le'kales, to raise up, or we raise, le'ela, we raise up our prayer. Or possibly, it's a key to the structure, the unique structure of these 15 Mizmorim, almost like stair steps, where words are repeated from one section to the next and build upon each other. So I'll point that out as we go through this Mizmor, but the famous one is in the next Mizmor, Shir Lama'alot Esayinai Elaharim Me'ayin Yavo Ezri, from whence will come my help? And the next Pasuk begins with the word Ezri Me'im Hashem Oseh Shamayim Va'aretz. My help is from God who made the heavens and the earth. So let's now engage in an analysis of chapter 120, the first of the 15 Shir HaMa'alot. Shir HaMa'alot, El Hashem B'tzaratali, Karati Ve'ya'aneni. A song of ascents, in my distress, I call out to Hashem, and he responds, and he answers. So notice over here that we have the word, we don't have the content of his plea, which we will see in the next verse. The placement of El Hashem at the beginning, okay, Shir HaMa'alot, El Hashem, to Hashem, when I was in pain, I called out and he answered me, is unusual, and it serves to stress the fact that he calls out to Hashem and not to flesh and blood. Then the word Hashem is repeated in the Ma'alot structure. In the next verse, Hashem, Hatzila nafshi misfat sheker, save my soul, save my life, save me from those who speak lies. Milshon remi'ah, whose language is one of deceit. From this point on, he will no longer mention God, and we get the sense that he feels more and more removed from hope as his troubles get bigger and worse. And now the Mishorer turns to those who speak deceitfully, and he asks them, Ma'itenlach u'mayosiflach, what should be given to you and what should be done more to you? Lashon Remiya, you deceitful tongue. And this, what should be done and what should be given, echoes the language of a biblical oath. For example, in Megillat Rut, where Ruth and Naomi are speaking, and we hear the oath, Ko ya'aseh Hashem li v'cho yosif, thus shall God do to me, and thus shall he add. And then he continues in verse 4 with the answer to his rhetorical question. Chitzei giborim shinunim im gachalei retamim. This is the punishment of the deceitful tongue, to be stabbed with sharp arrows which are shot by a soldier who won't miss. This is midah kineged midah, where the punishment fits the offense. Deceitful speech can be compared to sharp arrows stabbing at its victim. An additional punishment? To hurt him with coals, to burn him. Ritamim are plants which smolder and retain heat for a long time. So just like the effect of deceit can last for a long time and incubate and become worse and worse, so too he will be punished with ritamim that will hold the heat for a long time. Another possibility is that this verse describes the deceitful speech before, in the verse before. Deceitful speech can harm a person immediately, like an arrow, and long-term, like the smoldering coals. Also note that there are two types of punishment, arrows, which require human intervention, and coals, which are natural, somewhat. After describing these people who deal with him deceitfully, he describes a second type of enemy, those who pose an existential threat. And he continues in verse 5. Oyali ki garti meshech. Woe is to me in exile that I live with Meshech, Shachanti im Ohalei Kedar, that I dwell beside or in the tents of Kedar. Note the similar sounds of Oyali and Ohalei. Woe is to me and the tents. And we'll see the word Shachanti in the Ma'alot structure being repeated in the next verse as well. Meshech is one of the children of Yafet and is traditionally thought to have lived near the Caspian Sea. Interestingly, the Ibn Ezra quotes a book by Yosef Ben Gurion as identifying Meshech with Tuscany in Italy. It's important to note that the book that he's quoting was not written by Josephus Flavius, but was rather a history book first appeared in the 10th century and was loosely based on Josephus's work. In any case, it's to the north of the land of Israel. Kedar is one of Ishmael's descendants, and they live as nomads in the Arabian Peninsula, hence the reference to the tents of Kedar. Both these nations, Meshech and Kedar, were famous for archery, connecting us to the arrows of the previous pasuk. Note also that he's dispersed to the north to Meshech and to the south, Kedar of Israel. He finds no rest and is sent to the ends of the earth. He then continues to describe his travails when he is living in this far exile. Rabat shachnali nafshi im sonei shalom. For a long time, I have dwelled with people who hate peace. This could mean that these are people who are warlike and aggressive, or that they hate people who are peaceful. And here the word nafshi means myself. Rabat shachnala nafshi. I myself have lived here. And then he describes himself in contrast to this warmongering surroundings. Ani shalom, I am all for peace. V'chi adaber, but when I speak and I try to engage my neighbors, hema lamilchama, they come at me in battle. They pervert my words and interpret them as aggressive. Notice the opposition between ani, I, and hema, them. And notice again the ma'alot structure where shalom is repeated from the previous verse. So what's the purpose of this mizmor? Possibly, it's a cry to Hashem during a time of travail. Or it could be a description of the problems that the Meshorer had and he overcame. In other words, a song of praise as he reminisces. If that's the case, then it's logical to assume that the last six verses were his prayers during his travails, and the beginning is a heading where he says, "Remember Hashem when I called out to you, Karati va'ayaneni, when I called out to you and you answered me," and then it gives us the text of his prayer as he had called out to Hashem. Another possibility is that when he is confronted with other problems, he recalls and reuses his prayer from the time that this happened. And finally, according to the Dat Mikra, those who interpret the Psalms as having been sung by people who were olim, who were pilgrims to the temple, this one was written to be sung by the people who had originally been exiled to Meshech and Kedar. The Mizmor is somewhat disconcerting because it talks about
uncomfortable situations. First of all, notice that the direction of speech in each verse changes. In the first verse, he talks about himself in the first person and addresses Hashem in the third person, where he says, El Hashem bitzarata li, to God, when I had troubles, karati, I cried, vayaaneni, and he answered me. But when we move to the second verse, he uses the third person about himself and addresses Hashem in the second person. He says, Hashem, please you, hatzila nafshi, but he doesn't engage himself at all. In the third verse, he addresses his enemy in the second person. Then he speaks of the punishment in the third person, in the fourth verse. In the fifth, he speaks about himself in the first person, then shifts to the third person in the sixth verse. And finally, he goes back to the first person and speaking about his enemies in the third person in this last verse. And I think it's indicative of how he is so stuck and he's so bewildered that he just can't even organize his thoughts. And then it ends really on a word that we wouldn't expect a song of praise to end. It ends, Ani Shalom, I am peace, v'chi adaber, but when I speak, Hema la milchama, they are for war. Why would we want to end with a note of war? And that perhaps is the reason that the next mizmor, which we will study tomorrow, starts off with Esa'inai el haharim. I look up to the mountains. Me'ayin yavo ezri. Where will I have help? His troubles are not yet over, and he will continue to cry out to Hashem. Wishing you a wonderful day.